This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the Best of America Tonight.
Storm, we all ended up in Las Vegas. You know, I was there for a wedding, and he told me that the property was there. And would I like to try to get the property? I said, of course I would like to get the property.
All right, O.J. Simpson talking about what was going on at his parole hearing, meaning the memorabilia and what had happened there. First time we actually heard O.J. Simpson talk about it. He's been in prison for armed robbery, among the charges that he faced back then over 8 years ago. But here's the big news. The parole board votes to release O.J. Simpson from prison in October, so he will be, I should say, a free man, and so many people are talking about this. Some of you know this, but I interviewed O.J. Simpson before he went into prison for Market News First, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Ellen Ratner joins us from Talk Media News. Ellen, you remember the whole O.J. thing. I mean, it's just, again, exploded.
That he was acquitted when he I believe it was 94, right?
Yeah.
And then later on he goes to prison because he did an armed robbery to get his supposed things back that he said were his. But in any case, he is paroled as of October 1st, we think. Now the question is whether he's going to go to Florida with his four children or whether they're going to make him stay in Nevada. Do not know. He's hoping to go to Florida, I think.
Yeah, he's hoping to go to Florida because then with the bankruptcy laws there, he'll get $300,000 in his pension from the NFL, and nobody can touch that money. So Florida would be the place that he would want to be because then, remember that civil suit with the Goldmans and everything, there's still monies that would be on the table there, but nobody could get them if he was in Florida. So we'll see. Crazy.
Yeah, it is going to be crazy, and it's going to be crazy as to whether it's interesting. One of the people who voted for to give him parole basically said, "You realize if there's a parole violation, you're going to go back to prison."
Yeah, absolutely. So kid can't have any violations, that's for sure. All right, let's move to Washington and talk about this Robert Mueller stuff. This is huge. So what's going on with this Russia investigation? This is big news. There's a reshuffling of the legal team now again.
Well, yes, there has been, of course, and Trump is trying to do this constantly in terms of changing his legal team, trying to figure out what to do. But Robert Mueller, has basically said that he is going to now look, perhaps, into the finances of Donald Trump, other than just the Russia issue, but in terms of his whole finances, unrelated necessarily to Russia. And he did an interview, because it's been 6 months since he became president, and he did an interview with the New York Times, of all people. He doesn't even like the New York Times, considers them fake news a lot of the time. But he said, he was asked by the New York Times last thing, if Mueller was looking into at your finances and your family, unrelated to Russia, is that a red line? Trump said, I would say yeah. I would say yes.
Wow. So what do you think happens here? I guess there's no way to really know. We're throwing darts at a dartboard.
There isn't any way of knowing, and there isn't any way of knowing whether legally he could fire him. That's whether Trump could fire Mueller or Mueller, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And so we just don't know what would happen and whether he would attempt to, whether Mueller's looking into his finances, turns up anything. Everything is up for grabs, but this is quite an astounding development.
Boy, no kidding. It really, you know, it's been an interesting 6 months, hasn't it? It's been 6 months for the president.
Right. The St. Louis Dispatch just did something and figured that he had tweeted 991 times since he took office.
Oh, my gosh. And you sent me something on this that was interesting. And fake news was mentioned 82 times. Wow.
That's right. Hillary Clinton 22 times.
Oh, yeah, crazy. And then tell us about this ACLU thing, filing the Freedom of Information Act for this lawsuit against the Trump administration.
So, as you know, the Trump administration has taken some pretty unusual positions, and whether it be that they're going to begin to look much more into trans people in the military or whatever, because before they had left office, the Obama people had said within 6 months you could begin to get trans people into the military, et cetera. So this is a FOIA, a Freedom of Information suit, and basically it is against the Trump administration. It says that that they want to look into how any kind of executive orders are made, leaked drafts of it, that kind of thing, and whether these drafts, et cetera, of any kind of Trump administration guidelines, et cetera, are made. They want to find out how they're made, whether any drafts are made of them, et cetera, under the Freedom of Information Act. And, of course, this has also to do with the Presidential Records Act. As you know now, this is very interesting. When you and I write something to each other, perhaps, and we put and there's all these different kinds of ways of doing it now, that you can put something on your cell phone so that if you send a tweet or something, it goes, or even an email to each other, it goes away after a few hours or something like that. Well, that may actually violate the Presidential Records Act. And so the ACLU has written they want everything that goes into how something is made up. In other words, if there is a presidential written command, anything like that, how it's made up, who's involved, et cetera. And it may not, if they use some kind of software that takes this away, it might not show up at all.
Wow. Crazy times. Ellen Radner, always fun to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, she's the best, Ellen, you know, talking about the OJ thing. As she said, you can remember back in the 90s, the Bronco, and of course you're reliving all of this. And for people who are younger and have no clue about what happened before, it's everywhere. I mean, it has just exploded. When we come back, I'll talk more about my conversation with OJ Simpson and what happened there. And boy, what a crazy time that was. And it was before what happened with the memorabilia. And the conversations that he and I had, even when we weren't on the so-called air, because we were live streaming a show, it was Internet Protocol Television for Market News First, and I was doing shows where we were basically talking about small cap companies, some blue chip companies, but my interest in finance was peaked, and he became a special guest for 3 days that were just wild, wacky, and insane. Talking about that on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health? Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemed.com. That's brightsidemed.com. Order today.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the Best of America Tonight.
I've basically spent a conflict-free life. You know, I'm not a guy that ever got into fights on the street and with the public and everybody.
All right, O.J. Simpson saying he lived a conflict-free life, except for if you listen to those 911 horrific calls from Nicole Brown Simpson, who was murdered, and her friend Ronald Goldman, to the point where blood was flowing all down the driveway. Absolutely brutal to see what happened. And, of course, he was acquitted of that murder, as you all know, and there were a lot of theories floating around and whatnot. I'll tell you my story as this parole thing unfolded today. If you haven't heard it and you're new to listening to America Tonight, it was before the memorabilia incident happened. Maybe it was, I want to say it was like 6 or 7 months before that. A guy that I worked for who ran a company called Market News First, it was Inter Protocol Television, it was very cool, beautiful set, television, the whole thing, and of course I started in TV, so I was doing America Tonight and a few hours of this Market News First doing business business reports anchoring business and talking to some movers and shakers in the business world and small cap companies. And he came to me, his name is Josh, and he came to me and he said, you're the only true journalist in this place, and we have an opportunity to talk to O.J. Simpson. The book, If I Did It, is coming out, and we don't know that it's going to happen. We're not going to pay him for the interview, because I said I wouldn't do that if that was the case. And cutting to the chase, they talked to me about it and said, think about it, and came to me weeks later and said, he's going to be in Dallas, and you can sit down and meet him and talk to him, and we'll arrange how this will go. And I did meet him and told him I was going to ask him every single question, if you did it, if you didn't do it, who did it, and all those kinds of things. The same that Katie Couric had asked him, because he'd only done a few interviews after what had happened, after being acquitted, and he agreed to that part of it, and he said they would take call-ins. So the upshot was I sat down for 3 days and for an hour each day interviewed Simpson, talked about the book, If I Did It, why the book, all of that, what's happened in the years since, who he believed did it, and if he said the killers were out there, how come they hadn't caught them, all that kind of stuff came out. But what also happened was inexperienced people in the studio, no drop buttons, people calling in and saying, you know, of course, yelling crazy things. And then that would be cut off and he couldn't hear because he had no what they call IFB. It's when they hook you up and you see anchors and they can hear what's being said, much like in radio where we have headsets on so I can talk to the guys in the studio at our mothership in Minneapolis, and I'm at our satellite studio in Dallas, Texas. So he couldn't hear any of that, and that got a lot of play. So it was wrapped into a couple of cuts and was played in a lot of different places. And, of course, just the whole interviews themselves were played all over the place. I went on a lot of shows and talked to a lot of different people about Simpson and the interviews and what did I think and all that kind of stuff. And it was a crazy, chaotic whirlwind 3 days, and there were reporters camped out all over the place and trampling all over us to just get a glimpse of him. And my personal interactions with him, which I tried to limit other than being on the set, were he told me he would tell me who it was, and he told me to look into the police, and of course, yeah, look into the police. That was that whole idea of the frame, and then that was it. And 7 months later, lo and behold, he wants his memorabilia, and that all unfolds where he's, you know, this armed robbery involving the two sports memorabilia dealers in Las Vegas hotel room happened, and he was convicted in 2008 of that and has been serving time since then. The minimum 9 years of a 33-year sentence. So he's out in October. And boy, it was interesting to hear him. You just heard right there. And there's nobody I've ever talked to in the really well over 12,000 people I've interviewed, lots of people that are famous and interesting and just normal people with interesting stories. There's nobody I've ever interviewed that's been that polarizing, totally completely hated and totally completely loved by other people, totally completely feeling like he was a scumbag, a jerk, he had murdered them, and then other people saying he was framed. It's, it was really crazy to see that up close and personal, and to see all the things that were written about it and whatnot. And what people don't realize, and one of the things that he and I talked about, because he was living in Florida, was just, you know, what is the money situation now? And he made money in prison. I mean, how much money could he have earned during his 8+ years? Certainly more than $600,000, probably, because he's got an NFL pension, and the NFL pension is pretty good. If you remember what his career was like, and being in Florida, none of that can be touched by the civil case where he would owe money in the civil case. That couldn't be part of what would be used to pay any of that off. Now, one of the things that was said at the parole hearing, and something that Ellen Ratner, if you just listened, from Washington brought up, if he in any way violates the parole terms, which will be laid out, they would immediately put him back in prison. And his daughter, Arnell, took the stand in defense of her father, was choking back tears, really, said he was my best friend and my rock, and as a family, we recognize he's not a perfect man, but he is the man and the father that speaks to his overall character, which is to be positive no matter what. And she said, on behalf of my family, his friends, we just want him to come home. So, you know, he's 70 years old. In fact, there was kind of a little faux pas in the hearing where at one point they read that Simpson recently turned 90, and then they corrected that. And so that was the gist of it. It was actually a pretty long hearing because we were taping interviews here on America Tonight, and I was watching that as well. And it was about 2 hours. It seemed like it was like 2 hours long, and then they went away, and then they came back. And you have to remember, before the 94 killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman, and the trial, that transfixed the nation, the testimony, the bloody glove that didn't fit, the furious debate over racist police, celebrity justice, cameras in the courtroom, people that became famous because of the O.J. trial, a lot of legal people, Greta Van Susteren, that's where she really cut her teeth and became well-known, and she certainly wasn't the only one. And before that, though, he was incredibly, incredibly popular from the time he won the Heisman Trophy in the late 60s. To becoming an NFL great, Monday Night Football commentator, some of the movies that he did, the Hertz Rent-A-Car commercials, all of that, the Naked Gun comedies, other movies that I mentioned. And he talked briefly because I didn't want to go into it, and I wanted to keep it mostly back on what had happened with his ex-wife and all of that stuff. But he did talk briefly about his movie career, and he talked about what he said was smoking pot with Elizabeth Taylor somewhere on a movie set where they were in one of the trailers. But for the most part, the interview that I did, I just kept trying to go back to what people thought, what happened, all those kinds of things in that interview. And today he just did, you know, he talked where he didn't testify. He didn't comment the first time around. So it was interesting to hear what O.J. Simpson had to say. Right now we're going to Washington, D.C., the American Federation of Teachers. They're having their big meeting. Nothing to me. Honestly, I think we have to give it up for educators, no matter if they're on the private side, the public side. They're the ones fighting the battle and shaping the future. So we're going there next on America Tonight.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the Best of America Tonight. Conversation about where we are teaching-wise and education in this country. Who better to welcome to the show than Loretta Johnson? She is the Secretary-Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers, AFL-CIO. She was first elected to that spot by a unanimous vote of the Executive Council back in July of 2011, and so popular, overwhelmingly reelected. I don't think they're ever going to let her go. Loretta, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what it was like when you started your career for all the listeners across the country to kind of give a timeline for what you've seen in education. You started back in the mid-60s as a teacher's aide in a Baltimore elementary school. And when I read your bio, oh, wow, it just brought me back thinking you earned $2.25 an hour and no benefits. How do you survive on that?
Survive, but you know, that's why we grew our union. We realized that we had to come together and work together, and we were able to do that. We put together our own organization, and of course, as you see in my bio, year after year, we did improve. We not only improved the union, we improved services to students in Baltimore.
We met the kids where they were. You know, we were teachers' assistants out there at that point, and we worked with kids from the poverty area. We did a lot of work in helping teachers to support the students' academic program.
How tough was it in the beginning to get the union started, to get people to get on board, to try to make it? You must have pounded the pavement and,
oh, yes.
And really.
I went from school to school. It was like one or two in schools, sometimes as high as six people that you had to pull together. And I went from school to school. The issue wasn't whether we did a good job. The issue was to begin to have a voice in education and to work with our counterpart, which, who was the teachers, and to be able to give them assistance, to get training for us, to make sure that we were a good support for the teacher in the classroom. And so around our first contract, it was around staff development for paraprofessionals in the classroom. And then later on, I went on to para-to-teacher program because the paras is just like any position assistant. Move on if you want to become a teacher. And they became good teachers.
And what was you must have the feedback that you must have gotten because of a lot of different reasons, but also because of the education you obviously were able to provide for the teachers, right? Because they must have grown.
Yeah, exactly. Teachers open us with open arms to come into classroom, but they wanted to make sure that we were going to be a service and not a hindrance. So staff development and working with them was great, and then we turned out good. It was good for Menardi. We turned out good Menardi teachers.
And when you see now what how far you've come, what keeps you up at night, Loretta, now, after all the hard work and the great improvements you've seen, what worries you the most, or what's the biggest challenge?
Well, what worries me the most is we are regressing. We're going backwards. All those days and all the things that we move forward when passing the Elementary and Secondary Act, funds that really help students that need it. Now we are fighting to share public funds with private sector. And that worries me quite a bit because we never fund public schools in America at the level that we should. And now we're in competition for the funds through private sector vouchers and privatization. That worries me the most.
And what happens, and what have you seen when you don't, when kids don't have access to good, decent education?
Well, you see what's happening. Crime is growing.
Yeah.
Kids are on the corner. Vouchers is not stopping that. What stops that is good education and a place for kids to be. This is why the American Federation of Teachers have taken a position that we have to be more engaged in the community that we work in.
And using that as an initiative in being more engaged, how do you do that? What have you talked about in becoming more of a partner with the community?
Well, let me give you an example. In Baltimore this year, the AFT led the Baltimore Teachers Union led a program called B3. And B3 is a program to bring back every child back to Baltimore in the schools. And we had 40 advocates, both teachers, paraprofessionals, knocking on doors in the inner city to get kids enrolled in schools. We've been losing population in Baltimore City. They aren't out of the city. They're not coming to schools. And it was a great success. The public that was a little standoffish when they saw teachers out there talking about the programs in the schools, they were elated. They began to conversate. We held over 5,000 conversations in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So we know that we have to do things differently. We just can't say, come to us. We got to go out into that community and be a part of it.
Yeah. And do you hope what happened with B3 in Baltimore can spread to other areas that desperately need this?
Of course. Of course. Already we have different folks. As we are putting the data out there of what we did in 6 weeks, we already have different locals that are calling us saying, I want to do that. We train teachers. found out it was a teacher and not just a person, they were so impressed that a teacher is coming to my door. We were in the projects in Baltimore, not in the private homes. These teachers went into the projects where, you know, you say it's not safe, it's not. These teachers went in there, knocked on doors, talked to parents. We enrolled over 300 pre-K students.
Wow.
We don't have the exact number of the other part of the enrollment because it's got to happen. You know, they signed up to enroll, but once they do that, we'll have those numbers. We want to do good data. It's not going to do us any good to put out bad data. This
right.
has got to be something, and it's got to be an ongoing program. We can't stop now that we finish the 6 weeks.
Right.
On
so
Monday, there'll be a press conference as to how we move this further, how we do more.
Yeah, how to do more in the community.
How do we do more?
As you see that and you talk about the battle, the privatization and going back and forth, the vouchers, everything that's happening, for somebody who was on the front lines just there in the 60s trying to make something happen, it's got to be frustrating to you to see this logjam over funding. Is it hard to understand?
It was, but... You know what I feel like now? I feel like when I needed to organize the paraprofessionals, I'm ready. I'm going out there. We got the same public. They're different people.
Yeah.
But we got to meet them where they are. We can't go in with the stories of what I did in the 60s. We got to go and talk to them at their level.
Right. And so in doing that, you must do some research, some education, you got to be armed with, you know, if I'm a teacher, you got to tell me how to communicate, right? So that communication
has not worked.
Yeah.
What success story can you as a news person tell me that has worked with vouchers, charters? What is the success story?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. From a family of educators, you know, family members who were educators, I saw the frustrations they have. I mean, even in classrooms, teachers, how much of what the teachers do in the classrooms, Loretta, you see, they put a lot of their own money into the classrooms,
exactly.
Don't they?
And as I tell people, you know how hard I go before high school classes to talk to them about becoming teachers? It's like talking to that wall. Because anybody knows that once they become a teacher, they're not going to get the same salaries that they get in other professions. So you got to love it to come into education. And these folks that give their heart, their monies, like you know in your family, they
right.
see kids need a coat, they go buy and put the coat on the kid. They don't write that up and say, I'm going to be reimbursed for this. They do
right.
what need to be done to try to teach the kids that's before them.
Yeah. What's your, you know, we've talked about these challenges about meeting that and doing those things, as you say, in the classroom. What's your, there's got to be something besides you've got all these fabulous grandchildren that I'm reading about and great grandchildren, but what is it that gets you up every day? What makes you feel so good about what you're doing?
Every time we have a success story like McDowell, where we went in there and turned it around. You know, it doesn't go national, but you have success stories. And in Baltimore, there are so many good schools. That's a success story for me. And that keeps me going. It really does. I go across this country and I find schools. I was up in Delaware and for the summer learning, and I went to a school that is made for special needs kids. And I read, and this is a summer program that is very costly, but they've been able to get it funded.
Wow.
And I spent time reading to those kids and watching. We're meeting the kids, those kids where they need, and they're learning.
Right, which
That's
is fantastic.
What keeps me going.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great sentiment. Perfect place to end this. Loretta Johnson is the Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers. What a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Situation be much better than today. You know that you could do much better, much better than you do today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the doll.
I'll get the kid.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the Best of America Tonight. Very pleased to be here, headed to Washington with Mary Catherine Ricker, who is the Executive VP of the American Federation of Teachers. Boy, we have a lot to talk about when we look at the landscape of what's happening, and her background is so fascinating. She was the president of the St. Paul, Minnesota Federation of Teachers, a couple of the AFT local there since back in 2005, and AFT vice president in 2012. If I did her whole resume, it would blow your mind, and I don't know how she finds time for anything else. But what I think is also fascinating, she was a member of the AFT K-12 Teachers Program and Policy Council since 2006. Mary Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
So I did that on purpose to give your credentials, but the part that I'm so interested in is, it's interesting, the Teachers Program and Policy Council since 2006, yeah. K-12, how much has changed since you first jumped on that and you were tweaking and looking and, I don't know, were you designing programs then?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is both fascinating and daunting, as you can imagine, to sort of do a look back to see what has changed. And in and in some respects, some of our most pernicious issues that have stayed the same. And so I think back to when I first got on the program and policy council. Well, actually, first of all, if I can even just back up and say, you know, how much I appreciate my union, the union of professionals, as we call ourselves at AFT, having a program and policy council of teachers from across the country shaping our, you know, our impression of public policy around public education and around around best practices in public education. Because one of the things as a union leader, you know, a teacher on leave who's serving as a union leader, I fight for is for teachers to actually be directly involved in decision making. So for our union to walk that talk and have a program and policy council made up of practicing classroom teachers from across the country is actually a great way of making sure we are not just fighting back against bad ideas, but we actually have a space to sort of hope and dream and build a fight forward, right? That progress that we know we still need to make in public education, and that we know that that's what we went into public education and union work to do.
Wow, and so, you know, when you go through this and you collectively get these ideas from teachers, and this is such a big question, but there has to be a couple of moments that really stood out for you, some piece of curriculum or something that changed.
Absolutely.
If you had to point to a couple of them, what would they be?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually, I have really built a lot of my practice around advocating around teaching quality. And so I would say one of those moments for me is around that teaching quality issue, and that, you know, our union chose to champion this idea of peer assistance and review. And that was that, you know, we had to take some of the most, you know, professional conversations we were having about quality teaching from the parking lot into our school day, right? Because that's where we were having our conversations about teaching, because no one was asking us during our school day. No one was asking us during our professional development days, like, what does a high-quality teacher look like to you? And yet here we are teaching every day. And so, you know, so our work on the Program and Policy Council really decided to take the idea of peer assistance and review from this program that had been working masterfully in Toledo and practiced in a few other places, like Rochester, New York, and other places, and to say, you know what, actually all of our members should know about this. All of our members should have an opportunity to negotiate a peer assistance and review program or explore what that could look like, and to actually put teaching quality in the hand of practitioners, of people who have made it our day jobs to meet the needs of students. So I would say that, you know, and then, so for us to start doing that and then see this teacher evaluation conversation take hold of our country, right? Mm. And there, you know, of course, there being some perverse incentives at the national level around teacher evaluation, but then every state trying to have its own earnest conversation around teacher evaluation, I felt like, because as a union, we had already anticipated our desire to shape quality in our profession, having the ability to talk about something like peer assistance and review provided a really refreshing counterweight to some of those more punitive teacher evaluation conversations. You know, and that, and you can point to almost any time in the last decade, but that certainly became, you know, that certainly became the topic of conversation in a vast majority of conversations, you know, in 2008, 2009.
What are the biggest challenges, do you think, facing teachers today?
I think there are a few. So I would, you know, so first I'm going to talk just about our profession and the challenge in our profession, because I actually think it is stitched together with the challenges students have to find, you know, to be engaged in their learning too. So one of the big threats to the career of teaching is actually treating teaching like a career. We are seeing efforts chipping away at this idea of the career teacher, and having, you know, turning teaching into a starter profession, which doesn't do our school systems any good. I can guarantee you, when you walk into a school that has this gorgeous cross section of experience levels of teachers, right? You have your early career practitioners, you have your mid-career professionals who are developing their area of expertise, perhaps, and you have your veteran teachers who have really honed their practice and have a lot to offer in mentoring and in leading some of the work at the school level. You see, you know, you see colleagues who lean on each other, right? You see colleagues who support each other. And so the idea that, that a career in teaching is under attack, that there are people trying to weaken the profession, is a real danger then to public education. Because then experienced teachers and, you know, even your mid-career professionals have seen those school environments where student needs are being met the best. They have seen, you know, chances are good they have been in a school environment that has a fully licensed school librarian, and they know the power of research and of understanding access to information that only a licensed librarian, you know, media specialist can deliver. They've seen, you know, they've been in schools that have music programs and art programs, and so they actually see the sort of, they see the sort of like interest level and joy that brings to students, and the way that turns on a part of your brain that, you know, access to even the richest literature may not necessarily turn on. So they become advocates of that whole school experience that students deserve. And so when you, you know, when you attack a career in teaching, you're also attacking the sort of institutional memory that comes with advocating for the schools our children deserve. And so then, so we both suffer, right? Teachers and students suffer, and teaching and learning suffers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, ultimately, if you think about it, too, if we were to dive into the classroom, then the other part of this is the world has changed so much, as you know, Mary Catherine, as a lifelong educator, with attention spans, technology. What's the biggest challenge there?
That's right. I like to say I'm a Sesame Street kid. So I am one of those, you know, and when they talk about all the brain research on how children's brains have been rewired, I realize, like, I'm the first generation they're talking about. No, so there are, you know, I actually, as things have absolutely changed. And part of being in a vibrant profession is having the time to adapt to those changes so that they don't feel threatening. Because I actually feel like the changes themselves, you know, the access to technology or the rewiring of students' brains as they come to us because of that change in technology isn't actually the threat. It's treating teachers like, you know, like, you should just know this, and instead of actually giving them the time to learn how to adapt to, you know, how to create an engaging lesson, and how to stretch a child's attention span, how to make sure that you're still, you know, that there are still a lot of really enriching, developmentally appropriate things you can do with a student, but you really have, like, but there are some conditions to that, right? You cannot script teachers if you expect them to offer enriching, developmentally appropriate things for their students, right? You cannot, you know, you cannot create sort of this lockstep curriculum that is not culturally relevant to them if you expect students to be engaged. And so you, like, there needs to be this balance in, you know, in teaching to standards and the sort of autonomy that makes our profession a joy to be in at the same time. The sort of decision making that teachers should have access to that create those engaging, powerful lessons.
I love that. MCR, I think we've said it all. That's good stuff.
That's wonderful.
Executive VP of the American Federation of Teachers, thanks so much for joining us. Hang with us, everybody. More to come here on America Tonight.
All right.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Everything you've been told about identity theft prevention is a flat-out lie. No one can prevent identity theft. No one. Go to LibertyID.com and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. LibertyID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. LibertyID fixes the fallout for you. LibertyID does all the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines.
Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.